Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in the first two stanzas of Psalter 163.
The portion of Scripture which we wish to read to you can be found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 42. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 42. To the chief musician, Maskell, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may come together again as a congregation before thy countenance upon thy day. One thing thy servant did say, have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That I may see the beauty of the Lord, that I may inquire in his temple. Lord, thou knowest all our hearts, how that we come up unto thy house, because we are of the earth, earthy, and we have much form and custom. Oh, could it be that planted within our soul may be a desire to see the beauty of the Lord. For there is so much beauty to be seen. If thou wilt but open our eyes that we may see it, then it is necessary that we see first our wretchedness, that we feel something of our misery. Wilt thou remember us because we travel together to a great and never-ending eternity apart from thee. And we sang it together. What is the desire of thy people apart from thee? I long and thirst and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. Oh, that thou may give when there is such a hunger and when there is such a thirst that is planted in the heart by thee. That thou may also fulfill it, that thou may hear from heaven unto those that have to say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me? O remember, Lord, where there is need, for there is much need here upon this world. And thou dost give food and drink to the hungry and the thirsty when thou openest up the windows of heaven in the way of thy providence to feed us, though that we as thy creatures do not deserve it because we have sinned everything away. And so it is also for those who feel their own need. O Lord, then they are not worthy of the least of all the notice or the attention that thou would show unto them, O that thou may give, that they may receive it out of thy hand so freely, because thou wilt give it for thy own name's sake. Thou canst not do it for our sake. But thou wilt glorify thy name, as we have heard it also in this morning hour. It is thy own covenant, O Lord. Wilt thou care for thy own church? Wilt thou increase their number? And wilt thou give that in the midst of us there may be young and old that do strive at that throne of grace and who do wrestle as Jacob? Who cannot let thee go except that thou wouldst bless them. O Lord, then they are in a place where they may receive thy blessing. O that thou may take away the carelessness that lives in our hearts. And wilt thou take away also all of our hypocrisy? For we read it in thy word, who shall come into thy holy place and who shall stand before thee? It is the man who has clean hands and an upright and a pure heart. O Lord, we have filthy hands and we have no pure heart. How can we stand before thee? We need to be washed and we need to be cleansed in that precious and that all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. O, who can put his hand, O Lord, in his bosom and take it out clean? Who can stand in thy most holy sight? O, that thou wouldst look upon us in and through him, whom thou sayest, I am well pleased. It is thy only begotten Son, and he has finished everything, from the beginning to the end, what is necessary to take away thy wrath and to receive thy church again into thy blessed favor and communion. Oh, that we may be given a desire amidst all the cares of this world of the time, amidst all the drawings of the world and of the devil, young and old, that we may be given new desires, desires of the Spirit, that there may be a new man planted in our hearts, for else we shall die as we have been born. O, look upon thy people, for it is a warfare, Lord. It is a people that have to say with thy servant of old, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. It is so incurable. O Lord, that thou may remember them in all the militant church. O, that thou may give, teach the hands, the hands to war and the fingers to fight, that they may be given an eye to behold thee, because it is only by faith that sin may be taken away, and that they may receive what is to be found in that fountain of everlasting life. Oh, we cannot receive it by the doings of our own hands. It is corrupt from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. And there is nothing to be found in us but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. O thou who hast looked upon thy dear son, and thou who hast raised him from the dead in thy satisfaction, and with all that he has finished, that thou hast said it is enough, and that thou hast given him that life that thou hast promised unto him, and thou hast taken away all thy wrath, O Lord, could it be experienced? Now also in the midst of us as a congregation, it is a great work which thou hast accomplished for thy people. May we see a little of it. Also in this afternoon hour, we do not deserve it. Our sins rise up against us. They are prevailing day by day. But wilt thou show us mercy and take our guilt away? Remember thou young and old, many needs and cares in this life. The world is full of it. It is our own sin. It is the consequence of our own guilt. But oh, that thou may help in thy mercy, and that something may be felt of thy long-suffering goodness, that it may draw the hearts of young and old unto thyself. We may see also this boy here once again in thy house. Oh, give him a humble and a thankful heart in the days of his youth. And wilt thou grant the healing of his body. And wilt thou give unto all of our children and our youth a heart, a tender heart, to fear thee and to walk in the way of all thy commandments and thy statutes. Oh, that they may be given to say, I love the Lord, the fount of life and of grace, and that in the days of their youth, that their hearts may go out to that one thing that is needful, and that they may remember their Creator. Oh, do look upon us in this hour. Lord, strengthen us for a few moments, that we may be able to bring a little portion of thy word. Open that word, that it may be for the good of the hungry, the thirsty. And may it be also for the good of those who have no hunger and no thirst. And that it may be planted in the hearts for the first time in our life. And that we may be given that life that draws nigh to thee before that we have to die. Help us then, O Lord. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 416, stanzas 1, 2, and 5, as the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, as so my soul doth pant for thee. This is the first wedding announcement of Andre Janssen and Rosemary Den Hollander on Wednesday, July 25th at 1 o'clock p.m. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Monday, July the 23rd. Psalter 416, 1, 2, and 5. beloved congregation, when the Lord delivered His people out of their bondage, out of Egypt, and they did not know the way that lay before them. They thought that it would be but a short time, and they would come into the land of Canaan, the promised land. But there was instead before them the sea and the wilderness. Thus Asaph says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps, they are not known." And so the Lord is leading His people in a way which they do not expect, and in many ways seemingly contradictory. The Lord says that He leads the blind by a way that they know not, in paths that they have not known. He makes darkness light before them, and He makes crooked places straight. These things, however, He says that He will do, and He will not forsake them. We want to consider something of this with the Lord's help out of the words of our text for this afternoon, which you can find in 2 Kings chapter 5, the verses 4 through 8. 2 Kings 5, verses 4 through 8. "And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" So far, the words of our text. To be considered, Naaman's journey to Israel in three thoughts: a blessed expectation, second, a bitter disappointment, and third, a renewed hope. Naaman's journey to Israel: first, a blessed expectation, second, a bitter disappointment, and third, a renewed hope. "Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." How glad Naaman must have been. The king, he is not opposed. No, just the opposite. The king, he is seemingly very, very willing. Naaman has come to hope upon the God of Israel, after that he has experienced the death, the impotence of all of the gods of the land of Syria. How much does he know about the God of Israel, children? How much does he know? You will say he does not know too much. He has only heard a very, very little bit. That is right. And yet, he has a very great hope upon the God of Israel. Because that is a hope that the Lord, though he has but little knowledge, the Lord has placed a hope within his heart. So the Lord, he is drawing his people. Sometimes when we are very young. Is that so of you too, children? You do not need necessarily first to know so much. No, the Lord will teach you. But we need something planted in our heart that is a love for the Lord. We need a need to be seen for our own soul. You remember who Naaman is, right? Naaman, he is a leper. And if the Lord will show you that you are a leper, the Lord will also begin to draw your heart that you may seek after him. That is what we are reading here also about Naaman the Syrian. The Lord is filling someone with desires, with hopes, with expectations in that new life. And very often, in a wonderful way, the Lord, he is also providing for such persons. Especially, we can read that often in the beginning of the way, if we think about Ruth, and then we can read that it was her hap to light upon the field that was belonging to Boaz. Well, do we think that was just a matter of chance in this world? There is no such thing as chance. Here is one of the Lord's elect. Here is one that the Lord is leading. And the Lord is bringing into this field. We read of Nehemiah that he is standing before the king. And his heart that is going out unto the Lord for his help. And the heart of that king that is in one moment that is immediately guided, it is directed by the Lord, that the Lord is making an opening for his own children and that he may give to them the desires of their heart that he has planted within them. Now we read about Naaman. Naaman also has probably feared much when he had to go to ask that king because he sees it now as his only a hope, his only possibility. But will the king also agree? And now the Lord, he opens the way also in for Naaman in the heart of this king. Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. What is it? Well, it is the endorsement. It is a letter, it is a letter of recommendation, as it were, from the king, that is, from the mighty king of Syria. Thus, he will not go to Israel just as a private man now, but he is going to go with a letter from that mighty king, so that certainly he is not going to be ignored. He is not going to be treated with contempt when he comes into this land of Israel. And so he brings with him reasons. He brings with him a reason that he ought to be heard. There is someone, a great man in this world, who is recommending him. How much God's children need to be taught. When the Lord is beginning that work within their heart. Because how often are God's children also not bringing with them these letters of recommendation unto the Lord, when they will make their request unto the Lord, a reason why that the Lord ought to answer me. Joseph's brethren, when they came to Joseph, they did not immediately come in their guilt. But when they came in the beginning, they said, "We are honest men." And it was that honesty that had to be taken out of them. It was not in them. And the Lord, He has to show this also unto His own children. Do we also bring with us such letters of recommendation when we come before the Lord, when we ask of Him our request? What is written in those letters? What are the reasons that the Lord should give to us an answer? We do not lay them before the Lord, no, because we know the doctrine. We know better. But is it behind our supplication? Our faithfulness in God's house, maybe? Our walk in this world? Our tears? Our uprightness? May be that we are helpers of the poor, and that can go on and on. Letters of recommendation before the Lord. Or do you not have any? We can think we do not have any. But if the Lord would bring a man from the street today in the house of the Lord and powerfully convert him in this hour, that he would leave the house of the Lord a changed man, a shaken man at the foundation, what would live within our heart? Would we go to our home and say, "But Lord, then I have come 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years to thy house, and I have, and I have, and I have." The Lord needs to show to us what letters of recommendation we actually bring before Him. What is the tenor of this letter? What do we read? "Now," He says, "when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Do you hear the publican standing in the back of the temple, smiting upon his breast and saying, "O God, be merciful to me, the sinner"? Do you hear him? Do you hear the father of the lunatic saying, "O Lord, if thou canst do anything, have mercy on us and help us"? Do you hear him in this letter? We do not. What is the difference? Well, the king, he comes from the heights. The king is not bowing before the king of Israel. The king is not making a supplication. The king is making a demand. And that is what we do too. When we bring the least letter of recommendation with us, then we bring with us a right. And then we do not supplicate. Then we do not bow. But then we demand something from the Lord, which we do not even realize that we do not deserve. Thus we lack something. We lack that feeling realization of our guilt. We lack that feeling realization of our unworthiness, that we have lost, that we have forfeited all our rights, and that we are not deserving of the least of all the mercies of the Lord. Naaman prepares his journey. How does he prepare? Listen we read, "And he departed and took with him, Naaman was a worshiper, children, of the gods of the land of Syria." And he thinks that the God of Israel, he is just like the gods that are in the land of Syria. He does not know the character, the attributes of the God of Israel. And when they would make a request of the magicians of the God of Syria, then it was necessary that they would bring with them riches, gold, that they would make for their request a presentation. Because those magicians, they are demanding of that people enormous rewards. And so this Naaman, in his ignorance, he thinks he also has to bring such rewards unto the God of Israel. Do you know what he cannot comprehend? Do you know what he has not the slightest comprehension of? That is, that the God of Israel, he will give it without money. That he will give it without price. He does not know that. Indeed, where would he get such a thought? Where would he get such an idea from? Because it is not something that is coming out of man in the state of his ignorance, in the state of his death. Because we are born in the covenant of works. And thus every false religion in this world is based on this broken covenant. And that is what is making that covenant of the Lord God of Israel so distinct from every religion that is to be found in this world, where there is to be found no relief, where there is to be found no deliverance for the soul of a man. And so where would Naaman get such an idea from? And so we read it here. "And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." The prophet does not need to do it for nothing. He will pay for it, and he will pay him very good for it, because he is able to do so. And thus we see him leaving. He is laden heavily. He brings horses. He brings chariots. It is a great train that is leaving from that land of Syria. And he is following along the foot of the mountains. He is going down towards that Lake Gennesaret. He passes by Capernaum. He passes by Bethsaida. And he is coming down eventually into that land, that plain of Jezreel. What is living in his heart? All in his heart is living an expectation. Do you know what such an expectation is? As you are traveling along the way, "Whom have I, Lord, but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy, but thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning. For thee my troubled heart is burning." Do you know what it is? For the desires along the way to go out unto the true, unto the living God. Other times there will be in his heart questions. Questions, doubts, because as he is going, then he must have often thought, children, and when he is going, "Well, is it really true what that little maid has said? Is it really true that there is power there in the land of Israel? Will I really be delivered from this incurable disease, this leprosy? Is it possible that a man may be delivered from death unto life? Or perhaps he thought within him, will I actually be accepted when I arrive there? What does Asaph say? While faith sank low, I hardly knew that thou art Israel's keeper true. Do you ever feel it? Oh, he has perhaps taken out those letters again from the king. He has read them over again, the demands. He has put them away, maybe, in a very safe place. He has looked behind him. He has seen all the offering, all of the riches, all of the abundance that he is bringing with him from that land of Syria. And this is all a comfort to him. It is all an encouragement to him upon his way. And so he is going. And soon he is coming to stand there before a great and a beautiful building. It is a palace. Say, children, in a palace? Does the prophet live in a palace? Has that man not come to the wrong place? Yes, that is true. But Naaman doesn't know that yet. Naaman has to be instructed in this. We want to see that in our second thought. It is a bitter disappointment, because the king has not sent him to the prophet, but the king has sent him to the king of Israel. Does he think that the king of Israel can cure him? No. But he will say to the king of Israel, you must now send Naaman unto the prophet in order that he may be cured. Thus, he makes the king responsible for the cure of this captain of his host. He has to see to it that Naaman receives a cure. But what has to be experienced? That when we go to men, that we will be disappointed. Naaman, it gives him the letter. And what is the reaction when he receives this letter? Well, then we can read that Jeroham, he rends his clothes and he trembles. That is a sign of great alarm. The king, he is very, very frightened. It is a sign of mourning. What does he say? Am I God? To kill and to make alive? That this man that send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Poor Jehoram. Is he not a religious man? Indeed. He served the calves, the golden calves, very, very faithfully. But do you know who he did not know in all his religion? He did not know the Lord. His religion was a form, his religion was a custom, and he was not accustomed to drawing nigh unto God. Thus, he had much religion, but he still had no place to go when he was in trouble. Because when he came into trouble, then those calves, they could not do him any good. They were impotent. He did not even go to them. He did not even ask them. Because in his own conscience, he was well aware that they were but dumb images. In his conscience, he was well aware that he had left the Lord. And how then can we bow before Him when we are living so far away from Him? Do you ever feel that, young people? When we are going to live in the service of this world, and then when we come into trouble, and then in our own conscience we will feel our hypocrisy, and then we will feel that we only need Him when we come into trouble. We only need Him for ourselves, but we do not love Him with our heart. And so we maybe will not even dare to bend our knees. And so we read of this king, there is not a single thought, perhaps even of the Lord. But how is it for Naaman? He has come from very, very far away. And that man, he is sitting there with expectations, when he is sitting to wait for direction now from the king, with great expectations, what he has heard out of the mouth of that little maid. And he has now come from so far, only to hear what? Only to hear the words of unbelief. Unbelief. For Naaman, that is a very bitter disappointment. All his expectations in this moment are dashed to pieces. Am I God to kill or to make alive? Oh, then he can hear it from this king. It is actually an impossibility. And then in one moment, and then he has to say that the thing that he feared, that is indeed come upon him. Because now it is true, what that little maid said is impossible. What that little maid said, that is nothing but foolishness. It was just the words of a little child. Oh, it is true. The gods of Israel, they are no stronger than all the gods of Syria that I have served from my youth until this time. And so for Naaman, in one moment, his journey comes to an end. There is nowhere to go. He does not know any way. He stands there like the children of Israel when they are brought out indeed of the land of Egypt. And they had thought that that was by the hand of the Lord. They had experienced a great deliverance. But now it cannot be anymore. Because now we are standing before the sea. The enemy is behind us. There is no way forward, there is no way to the right, there is no way to the left. And this cannot be the way of the Lord. A bitter, bitter disappointment. There Naaman sits, and the leprosy that is continuing to rise in his flesh, it is continuing to spread in his body. And thus the clouds of despondency, they are coming round about him again. That it is getting so very, very dark once again in that life of Naaman. But Naaman, where is the letter from the king? Oh, that letter, that cannot do him any good now. That letter, all the demands that are in that letter, from the highness of the king of Syria, that is completely useless. He can demand, but the demands are not able to overcome the impossibilities. And thus all that demanding in this moment that falls away. But Naaman, look behind you. Look at all the gold. Look at all the silver that you have brought with you. No, cannot help him either. Because riches they profit not in the day of wrath. There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing anymore that Naaman has brought along with him that he feels is able to help him in this hour. If the Lord himself does not intervene, if the Lord himself does not come over, if the Lord himself does not make a way for Naaman, then it is impossible. Congregation, are there those who are not strangers of this place of Naaman? Are there those who are not strangers of that little hope? That little hope may be that hope that was from so many years ago now already. Maybe that hope that was in his word. And that hope you have relied upon for all these many years, but slowly, slowly as the way has gone forward, then those hopes and those fears that you have experienced, they were over one against the other. And now today you say, where has all that hope gone? Then it has come for you into the impossibility. Oh, you began maybe so full. Maybe you have even spoken of that hope quietly to someone else in your life, to your wife, unto your husband. And now when they will remind you of it today, and then you will say, oh, my wife, oh, my husband, that was now so many years ago. But I think that that is now all gone. It is not possible anymore. When Asaph, when he considered the days of old, the years of ancient times, then it says he remembered his song in the night. And that caused him to cry out, will the Lord cast off forever? Will the Lord be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Oh, the hope, the expectation. Oh, it can be. It can be that that is thought to be all false, all foolishness. But does not the Lord have a good reason here in the life of Naaman? Is there not much that has to be stripped away from Naaman? Does the Lord himself not have to bring in our life so much to naught? And when the Lord is now finished, when the Lord is now finished stripping his people, when the Lord is finished taking away all the false foundations, what cannot stand before him, what is left? There is only one thing left, and that is leprosy. Incurable leprosy. Is that all that is left in your life? Of all that you thought was the beginning of the Lord, maybe? Of all of your hopes and of all of your expectations? An incurable leprosy? Oh, if that is truly so, then there is room also for a renewed hope. And we want to see that in our last thought. Let us sing Psalter 210, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Recalling days when faith was bright, when songs of gladness filled my night. I pondered o'er my grievous woes, and searching questioning arose. Will God cast off and nevermore His favor to my soul restore? 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 210.
Thank you.
What a troubled congregation in the palace of the king. The king, he sits on his throne and with his clothes rent. And Naaman sits in his chariot full of leprosy. All his hope that is taken away. Man is at an end. He knows not what to do anymore. The creature's strength is gone. Creature wisdom is gone. This is the work of the Lord. That is a discouraging way for the flesh of man. That is a way in which man has to decrease. But this is the way that the Lord will glorify himself. And he will glorify his grace, and he will receive all the honor and all the glory. Elisha, he hears that the king has rent his clothes, and he is jealous. Jealous in his heart for the honor of the Lord God of Israel. And he sends to the king of Israel a rebuke. He says, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes?" He rebukes him. "Do you, O Jehoram, do you say that none but God can make alive? Do you say, O Jehoram, that only God can cure a man of his leprosy? And when you will so speak unto this heathen man, and he will return into that heathen country, what kind of reproach will you bring upon the name of the Lord? O Jehoram, if you only had lived a little closer to that God, if you only had served him in truth and in uprightness, if you only had needed him at other times, then you would have thought of him now. Then there is a holy jealousy for the name of the Lord that is burning in the heart of God's servant." But he not only rebukes him, he also at the same time delivers him. He says, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." That is not only a deliverance for this king. We will leave that king now. That is a matter that is going to be between him and the Lord. But we will go once again unto Naaman, because these words that are spoken, they are now not a deliverance merely for that king out of his predicament, but they are words that have sunk into the heart of this leper. "Let him come now to me." It is an invitation to be delivered by the Lord God of Israel. "Let him come now to me in all his misery. Let him come now to me in all his impossibility." The Lord makes a way for Naaman. He makes a way for Naaman when there is no way. He renews that hope that is living already in the heart of this man. Is it the same hope? Is it the same hope? It is what came from the mouth of that girl. And what comes now out of the mouth of this prophet is in dependence upon that same God. But you understand that Naaman has been brought by the Lord a little further in the way of instruction. That the Lord, He has made room for more instruction in the life of this man. So that when he says, come now to me, then he says, come to me in a different condition than he was aforetime. Let him come now to me. How sweet were these words in the ears of this Naaman. In the greatness of his anxiety, in the greatness, in the blackness of his despair. Thus that chariot that turns, it turns away from something and it turns unto something else. The entire time on the same journey, the entire time being directed by that same God, that same Spirit of the Lord. But there are steps. There are steps in the life of faith. And the Lord is giving instruction step by step unto His people. What does the psalmist say? He said, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, with joy in the light of Thy countenance. Oh, to know something of that joyful sound. Let him come now unto me. Thus, it is a renewed hope in what? In a soul that has been cut off. It is the invitation of the Lord that Naaman would draw nigh unto him with what? Would draw nigh unto him simply in his leprosy, would draw nigh unto him without his creature rights, would draw nigh to him without his creature riches, would draw nigh unto him without his creature wisdom, without his creature strength, without his creature knowledge, without his rights, without his demanding. Then there is a turning of the chariot. There is a turning of the heart. There is a lesson, a necessary lesson that has been taught unto this man. Is he cured yet, children? No. No. Young people? No. So, are they right then? Who are rejoicing when they are leaping from unto things the highest steps in grace and rejoicing with the salvation of the Lord. Is that the way the Lord is working? No. Find it in the Word of God. Cannot. It is nothing but a human superficial faith. The Lord is working by steps. The Lord is instructing, just as a man is instructed often in the way of this life. There must come room in the heart of a man for the cleansing. There must come room for the name of his only begotten Son. No, he is not yet cured. That man, he is still yet full of leprosy. And he knows it. That is not a man that will say that I am converted now. That is not a man that is able to say God is my Father. No. But here is a man that is receiving direction from the Lord. And this is a people that are turned away from something because that they have experienced for them for their own soul the impotency, the impotency of their own self, the impotency of all that can come from man. It must come to nothing in our life. It needs to be cut off in our life, that the Lord may say unto our soul, let him come now unto me. And then the heart will rejoice in what? It will rejoice and that it may turn unto a new and living way. And then it is turning away from a broken covenant, and it is turning unto a blessed covenant of grace. Oh, he knows so little of that. Think of the future yet. You know the story. He still has so much to learn. Can that people tell you now how they have to be delivered? No. And yet, they are being guided, they are being taught, they are being instructed, they are being drawn by the Lord himself. A new hope. A people that are traveling onward unto what? Traveling onward unto a full deliverance by faith. And then those moments when they may be given that renewed hope, then they may sing, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, even yet in all their ignorance. Even with all that they still have to learn, the Lord, he is taking care of his people to give them blessed encouragements along the way of true and living faith. No, the Lord is not forsaking the work of his own hands. From strength to strength, thy children dear go forward till they all appear in Zion's courts, God's holy dwelling. That is now the way. The way that the people, they are decreasing step by step, being instructed in the Lord. In what? In what is now, and what he is going to do for them. Then they have to become less and less and nothing, in order that he may become more and more and everything. And so he says to that hopeless, to that despairing people, let him come now. Oh, let him come now unto me, that I may receive the glory, and that your soul may be saved. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou draw that people? It is for them so hopeless. They do not know the way anymore. O Lord, it comes for them to an end. It is so discouraging. But O thou knowest what thou doest, and thou bringest to an end for a good purpose. O do draw them by thy word. Let him come now unto me. O give them to hear thy voice. Show them a little. Give them a little inshining into that blessed work of thy dear Son. What is accomplished upon that tree. O give them to see just a little bit of it, O Lord. That it may not be opened so greatly unto thy people. A little glimpse. A little shadow, a little looking through the lattice, that they may see something of thy face behind it. Oh, that their heart may be encouraged, and that they may be drawn to go a little further upon that way, the way of free and sovereign grace, for the most wretched and the most miserable and the most guilty of sinners. Oh, show thy way, Lord. To those who see no way, bring us safely to our places. Forgive and take away our many sins. Humble us under thy help and gifts received, even in this hour. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. 72:1-4. Lord, hear me when I pray. And answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips their answer speak, thy face, Jehovah, and will I seek. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 72.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.